You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of James this morning. Amen. James chapter 3. I'm believing God to touch and move this morning in the service and help us draw closer to Him. Glory. We've been working on a destiny series this morning. I want to talk to you about setting the course of your destiny. Somebody said, well, preacher, you've been talking about all this time about destiny. Now you're going to tell us how to start it. I'm going to talk about getting into your destiny, how you can help form your destiny. Amen. Glory. I think this is important because everybody in this building has something you can do for God. Everybody's not singers. Everybody's not preachers. Everybody's not teachers. But everybody has something they can do for the kingdom of God. They just find that place and get in it. Amen? Glory. Somebody said, well, now, preacher, I'm not real sure. I've never met anybody that couldn't do something for God if they wanted to. God's got something you can do. Amen. And there are people you can win that you can touch and you can minister to. You just sometimes have to just kind of get outside the box you live in and realize there's a world out there. Amen. Hello? James said it this way. He said, my brother, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offered all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and turn about their whole body. Behold also the ship, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with very small helms, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. For behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it dwelleth in the whole body, and sitteth on the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of the serpent, and of the things of the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, I want to get my destiny. Somebody said, now, preacher, how are you going to tie this together? I will. Just be patient. My mind goes in directions other folks don't. Thank God there's not a lot of folks thinks like me. Glory. Amen. Listen, God has a plan for everybody. That plan is what we call our destiny. And, church, I don't care. When you're born, God designs in you the ability to do something for him. It's just whether or not you'll sell out to him and do it is the point that's left up to you. Every person before they are born, God destines them to have the ability to do what's there for them to do. I believe with all my heart that I was destined to be a preacher if I ever gave my heart to God. One of the reasons I bounced in and out of church was I didn't want to be a preacher. I'd go to church, God'd start dealing with me, and I'd get out of church, figure if I get bad enough, he'd leave me alone. Then I finally got saved, felt like God called me to preach, preached my first sermon, greatest debacle of my life. Y'all heard the story, 16 pages of typed notes, 4 minutes, I was through. Glory. I walked by the pastor and said, I ain't doing this no more, I'm through. Next morning, my dad walked in, he said, son, I was standing outside listening to you last night. So I'm going to tell you, the day you were born, God said you'd take my place. My dad was a backslid preacher. He said, God said you'd take my place. He said, I got to admit, I never thought you'd live long enough to do it, but you don't worry about what you did last night. You're headed in the right direction. Amen. And ever since then, I've been changing the way things happen in my life because I realize I'm destined to do what I can do. Amen. And you know, church, some of you need to realize God's got a destiny for you. You just got to find it. He said, well, preacher, what are you getting at? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God predestined us, amen, a destiny. Our destiny was predestined by God and encompasses where God wants us to be. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't believe God. I've had preachers read that and say, okay, God decided who's going to get saved before they was ever born. That's not true. If that's true, God lied because he said, I would that none should perish. But all repent and find everlasting life. If all doesn't have the right to do so, God lied in his word. If he lied in one place, he lied in all of it. It doesn't mean that God predestined you to be a Christian. He predestined when you sold out what you would be for him. Amen. Just as he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. In other words, I knew who you were going to be. I knew everything was going to happen in your life. Come on, church. God predestined that to make it good. Somebody said, preacher, are you sure? Listen, God predestined that through Isaac, he was going to bless all the nations and chose him to be the son. Amen. God predestined that it was going to pass through Jacob. And I know some of you read the story and you think Jacob cheated his brother, but it was all the time Jacob's job to do what he did. God was predestined before it ever started that Jacob would be who the bloodline would go through. And then it would slide down, go through one of his sons and right on down till it got to Christ. You say, how do you know? Because even before the foundation of the world, God already knew Christ was going to die for the sin of the world. Before man ever sinned, there was already a Savior in heaven. That's predestined. Glory. Well, preacher, I just don't believe God has that kind of knowledge. You know, we have people believe God doesn't have foreknowledge. But church, can I tell you something? God knows more about anything going to happen in your life than you do. Hello? You will never catch God off guard. Somebody said, now, preacher, I don't know about that. He gave Joseph a dream 20-something years later. It came true. Joseph's problem was he shared it with his brothers. You know, when you're the youngest boy of a group or next to the youngest boy of a group, and they're all proud Jewish boys, it just don't pay to tell them one day y'all going to bow in front of me. I could have seen what I'd look like if I told my brothers that when we were kids. Glory. I'd have had the bald head long before I got one. Glory. Amen. But notice this, God predestined also Jeremiah to be the prophet that he was. He understood the things Jeremiah was going to do. He understood he'd have a life of weeping and a life that would be filled with sorrow. But he also understood Jeremiah would pen some words that would help people in thousands of years later when he said, I know a thoughts I have for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that I might bring you where? To an expected end. That's our destiny. God's got an expected end out there for everybody. He knows where we're going. He knows how we're going to get there. And he's there waiting on us, and he's with us while we're going. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. Notice this. God predestined John the Baptist to be a forerunner to Christ. John predestined Samson to be a savior of the children of Israel. He predestined David to be a great king. He gave him the ability to do so. He predestined Jesus to die for our sins. And he understood he'd go to the cross. Because let's face it, church. While Jesus was in the flesh, he had all free will just like you and I. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, it was not just to put on. He was literally wrestling with the flesh because the flesh did not want to die. The flesh did not want to pay the price. That's why he said, Lord, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But notice something. He let that cup get in his life. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And from that moment forward, Jesus, the flesh man, was headed to that cross, knowing my destiny is to die on a cross so that people through me might live. Could you say amen? Amen. John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God brought him into this world with a purpose. His purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. Thus, God has a purpose for every one of us. Just as surely as God has perfected the divine plan for your life, God is a God of destiny and purpose. Everything about God's dealings with man is connected to purpose. Ecclesiastes, the wisest man writing, said it this way: to everything there is a season, a time of every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. In the 17th verse, and he said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose in every work. Glory. The wisest man ever lived said, hey, there's a time for everything. It all fits in God's calendar somewhere. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? There's a time to be blessed and a time not to be blessed. And we got to figure out when that is. Hello? Come on, church. So wait a minute, preacher. I know y'all want them preachers talk about you always going to be blessed, but there is a time sometimes when you're not going to be so blessed. I guarantee you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't feel blessed while they were in the furnace. They were real blessed when they came out the other side, but they weren't blessed heading into it. Come on, church. I know I messed some of you up because y'all like, Margaret, how you doing? I'm blessed. There've been times in my life I didn't feel blessed because I was going through things, and there's times for that to happen. And when that happens, why lie and try to act like something ain't going on? Come on, church. We need to live in the real world. Honey, if you broke, quit telling folks how rich you are. You don't have to tell me, bro. Just don't say nothing. How are you? I'm okay. Or I'm rich. I'm blessed. I've increased the good. Had a dude pull up my yard one day and say, how you doing? I said, I'm blessed. We walked around back and he said, can I borrow $50? I said, no, man, you're blessed. Lord. Hello? Romans chapter 8. And we know all things work together for the good of them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine, or destinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified, and who he justified, them he glorified. You know what it said? It said, if he calls you to do something, he'll qualify you to do it. If you're a singer, you shouldn't have to apologize for singing. I'm making people mad, truth to truth. You get up here and say, y'all don't listen to how I'm doing it, just listen to my words. Now, how do I hear your words without hearing how you do it? Huh? Come on, church, that's just common horse sense thinking. Just get up here and sing. Just do the best you can. Hello? I've heard preachers get back, well, I'm not much of a preacher, and then they proved it. Hello? We had a guy at Buell one night, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. And about 30 minutes into the sermon, Brother R.T. Langford leaned over and said, you got any outlines? This guy's boring me. Glory. He's wanting to swap sermons. Hello? Smile. Some of y'all going, well, preacher, look, I never said I was the greatest preacher in the world. I just preach truth. Glory. We're predestined. I mean, God has made us persons that we're born to do what he said do. When we get saved, God opens that door for us to do it. It's a tremendous disappointment in the heart of God that there are so many who will never fulfill their destiny. They get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost on their way to heaven, and they occupy till he comes. God did not save you and sanctify you and fill you with the Holy Ghost to occupy a pew somewhere and talk about I'm on my way. He saved you, sanctified you, filled you with the Holy Ghost because he needs lights to a lost and dark world that needs to know there is a God somewhere, and you can serve God just by serving him in the public. Glory. Amen. Somebody said, now, preacher, you said you're going to tie all this together. I will. Amen. Your destiny is not up to God, nor is it up to the devil. Your destiny is up to you to get the desire to fulfill the destiny God has for your life. Somebody said, what are you talking about, preacher? I didn't have to be a preacher. I chose to do what I'm doing. I was very happy selling chemical paper products, selling shoes before that. I was happy making money without having to work hard. Oh, I've worked hard all my life, but when I found a place where I could sell shoes and not have to work so hard and make money, I thought, whoa, I've hit the green light. Amen. Then the next thing you know, and listen, church, I've sold a little bit of everything. I've sold ice cream. I worked repairs pride out of Tuscaloosa. I got locked in the truck one day. Locked, I never got out because the stretch lock on the inside was broke, and I beat on that wall, and nobody could hear me. Finally, some guy heard, opened the door, and I was about froze in the back of that truck. I came to Birmingham, and I'd not been to Birmingham much. I was from Butte. Birmingham was a huge city compared to Butte. And I had a map I was supposed to be following, and I'm not much of a map follower. They didn't have GPS or nothing like that back then. I got lost over in Bessemer somewhere, and the truck broke down. And I called the dude, and I said, your truck's broke down. He said, we'll be there about 3 o'clock in the morning. We'll get you back just in time for you to load up and leave out again. I said, uh-uh. I called my daddy. He's on the way to get me. You better get up here, because there's no way to lock his truck. Somebody's going to be eating a lot of ice cream if you don't get up here and I'll get around his truck. It was amazing. They had that record there before my daddy got there. I went home. The man called me. You coming back to work? I said, no, sir. I thought you realized when I left, I quit. I've had enough ice cream. Glory. Sold vacuum cleaners for a while. Collected money for a while from a. You don't ever want to do that. I was good at it. I got money from folks. I found out how to find them. I'd get one of them cards off a box that looked like a check, stick it in my pocket backwards so I got something for him. Oh, he's right down yonder. Glory. I had a guy stick a gun to my head one day, and I decided I was through collecting. Glory. He didn't shoot me, thank God, but the thought that he might just made me decide that wasn't the line I wanted to stay in. I went to work selling chemical and paper products, and I was making good money. God was blessing me in that business, and God was opening doors for me to make even more money. And then suddenly God closed the door and said, okay, make a decision. Are you going to follow your destiny, or are you going to sell paper products? He said, what are you talking about? I'm sitting at the house one morning thinking to myself, and I said, okay, God, if you really want me to be a full-time minister, make that man ask me to do something I'm not going to do. I went in the next morning. He said, you got to be at work Saturday. We're having a special day. I didn't work on Saturdays. I was straight commission. Saturdays was not a work day. I was headed to New Orleans for something that weekend, and I wasn't planning on being there. And he said, you either be here Saturday, you don't have a job. I said, I'll make it easy for you. I quit. I walked out the door, got back to the apartment. I walked in. Frida said, what are you doing home? I said, I quit. She said, what? I said, God's in it. She said, I hope so. Amen. Y'all need to understand, she said that a lot while we've been married. Glory. Amen. But you know what, church? God began to open doors, and God began to move, and God began to make things ways for me to go, and God began to give me places to preach. And when I sold out and went into it, God began to move. Can I tell you, when you really get into your destiny, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will open doors where there seems to be no doors. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I don't know of anybody by the name of Stroop that's a preacher in the Church of God. Amen. I got in the Church of God, and I thought the only way you get ahead was be married to somebody. So I married the Burroughs, and they got thrown out of popularity. Glory. Truth of the matter is, church, no one can look at me and say, hey, I helped him. I got him where he is. But God gave me favor with people that kept opening doors for me and giving me places to go and things to do. And because of that, I've got a name and a reputation that I serve God. One of the things I'm proudest of in all the years, 35 years of evangelism, I never told a pastor, your church ain't big enough. I never told him it won't pay me enough. I went to churches other preachers would turn down because God put me there. But because of that, God always saw to it that my bills were paid and I had somewhere to preach and I had somewhere to go. And I'll tell you right now, church, some of us need to realize our destiny may not always be across a TV screen somewhere around the world, but if God puts us somewhere, if we're faithful in that place God put us, God will bless us and God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings we cannot contain. Could you say amen? Amen. Listen, the tongue helps you with your way in God. So you say, what are you talking about? Listen, the tongue sets the course of your destiny. Notice what James said. He said, the tongue is like the bridle we put in the horse's mouth. What do you put a bridle in the horse's mouth for? Get him to do what you want him to do. You pull back on it, he'll back up. You pull to the left, he'll go to the left. Pull to the right, he goes to the right. If you don't like a regular bit but a hackamore bit and you got the wrong kind in his mouth, you pull back, you're going to go flying. Hello? I know some of y'all don't understand that, but some of their mouths are tender. If you put a regular bit in their mouth, you ain't going to have fun. Hello? Because when you pull back and it hurts them, they're going to get rid of whatever's hurting them. They figure you're connected, so you're gone. He compared the tongue to a hound. The helm of a ship. You know, no matter how big that ship is, there's a little rudder down there, and they move that rudder, and all of a sudden, that ship turns. Little bitty thing, but it turned a big old ship because of the way it's used. He said, as the helmsman or the governor moves it, that's the way the boat goes. Do you know your tongue controls where you're going? Hello? Well, preacher, you couldn't prove that if you wanted to. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hello? You know, if you think you're dumb, you're going to be dumb. Some of you have convinced your kids so much how dumb they are, they can't make good grades. And some of them, it's not a choice. They're just dumb. Hello? I never forget one of my friends that used to teach at Lee College said, the worst thing we can ever do is try to make everybody the same. Everybody's not the same. And it's not that they're dumb, they just got other qualities. Some people are good with their hands, their brain ain't that close. But they can build things, they can do things, they can work on things. I've seen men could take a car apart but couldn't spell. Hello? I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but a dude could take a car apart and it work. When he puts it back together, he's good. I remember one night there's a guy, we always call him, we always talk about how dumb he was. His car broke down one night, and he got up under that car working on the transmission with a cigarette lighter. He turned it off, and he'd work a while. He got in that car and drove off. It worked. I looked up my daddy. I said, if I ever have car trouble, I'm going to look that boy up. Hello? Why? Because he knew what he was doing. Everybody is not going to be an Einstein. Everybody's not going to be great in books. And sometimes we have to figure that out and say, wait a minute, there's something else they can do because they can be productive. And everybody is not going to be a great preacher. Everybody's not a great orator. But God can still use people. Come on, church. He said, oh, wait a minute. He used Moses, and Moses stuttered. But he made him a leader and carried him to the top because God had a destiny for Moses that started from the day he was born. And we need to understand what we think of ourselves and what we have in our heart is what makes us who we are. Luke 6:45, a good man out of good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Hello? And then he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do the things and not do the things which I say? In other words, he said, why do you call me Lord and then don't live right? Can that not apply to the day in which we're living? And we got people talking about, I can do that. It's okay. Not a thing wrong with it. If this book says it's wrong, honey, it's wrong. And Jesus himself said, you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I tell you to do. Hello? Oh, this is the year 2000. That's right. That's why y'all be living better, because we're getting real close to the coming of the Lord. I don't know if y'all have looked around and saw the news lately, but stuff we've been preaching for 20, 30 years is starting to come to pass right here before our eyes, and we ought to know that we know that we know we're ready to go. And I don't know about y'all. I'm not going to keep asking God, what can I do and still go to heaven? I just want to know what I got to do to get there. I'm not worried about what I have to get rid of down here. All I want to know is what I got to do to get there. I don't know about y'all, but I didn't get saved because I felt good. I didn't get saved
saved because I wanted to go to heaven. I got saved because I don't want to go to hell. And I don't know about y'all, but that's the main purpose I live, right, is I don't want to spend eternity without God. Glory. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like a piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is the tree of life, but a perverse therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. I'm not even going to say anything. Some of y'all look at me like, hey, if you find somebody's constantly rebellious, they need to work on that. Hello? Glory. Proverbs 10:20, for the tongue of the just is as choice as silver. Glory. Song of Solomon 4:11, he said, thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb, for honey and milk are under thy tongue. No wonder he loved that ugly woman so much. Glory. Oh, none of y'all look at me and talk about she ain't ugly. She herself said, my skin is like leather. Her brother said, our little sister hath no breath. If she were a door, we'd cover her with silver. If she's a wall, we'd cover her with cedar. The woman that the Song of Solomon wrote about was ugly. So I said, now, preacher, that's your opinion. I'm going to stick with it, too. I can prove it by scripture. Her own brothers thought she was ugly. Let me tell you something else. She was not offered for dowry. Good-looking girls in the Middle East during Solomon's day did not work in a field. They did nothing of labor. They were held back so the family could collect money on them when a rich man came by to marry them. This girl's working in the field, and she's washing dishes and cooking for her brothers, and they're figuring the only way we get money out of her is if we work her hard enough, somebody will buy her for a slave. And then all of a sudden, the king shows up and makes her queen. Do you realize, according to historical record, that is the only one of Solomon's wives that lived in his temple? He's the only one that stayed in his palace. He built a room for her on the palace, not her own place to live like everybody else had. She lived with him, and she was his wife, and he loved her like he didn't love the others because they were all contracts. Why? Because he loved her, because he said, your mouth is full of honey. You are sweet to me. You treat me right. You love me, and because of that, I know that I can depend on you. Church, let me tell you something. That's what people are looking for today, is somebody who can talk to them in a way to make them understand there's a better way than the one you're living in. Could you say amen? Amen. Your life today is the fruit of your words. With your tongue, you determine what comes to your life. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe to those things which are saith come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, church, don't run out and say, preacher told me, just go claim it. No, that's them guys on TV. And church, they don't believe what they're preaching. If they did, they wouldn't close with every show. Now, y'all be sure and write us a check now, because if we don't get them offers, we won't be here next week. Why don't you just talk yourself into a few billion and quit worrying about taking up offerings if what you say works? Come on, church. But if you constantly put yourself down, you will begin to believe what you say about yourself. Hello? But if you talk to yourself in a way in which you say, hey, ain't that bad. I may not be the greatest thing in the world, but I'm not the worst thing either. And after a while, you start thinking that. Hello? I never forget when I started talking about God called me to preach. I had a lawyer friend who was a city judge in Tuscaloosa. And he said, you want to learn how to be a preacher? I said, yes, sir. He said, get you a bunch of marbles and stick them in your mouth, just so many you can't move. And he said, take one out every 30 minutes and try to talk. He said, when you've lost all your marbles, you'll be a good preacher. So now you understand how I got where I am. You speak what you believe, and when you speak what you believe, it releases faith. And that faith that is released in your words will produce according to your faith. Hello? Job 22:28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but I shall accomplish that which I please, and I shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. Psalms 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The Bible tells me I'm overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, but I'm also overcomers by the word of my testimony. Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? You ever seen people that get saved, and the next day they're trying to figure out they really got saved, because we try to make such a science out of salvation that we can't really believe God forgave us? Come on, church. Some of y'all might not have had that problem, but I got up the next morning going, man, I wonder if I really got saved. I mean, that's pretty bad, and all I said was, God, forgive me, and all this is supposed to done happen. But know what? Once I started saying, yes, I am born again, yes, I am a child of God, I begin to lose the doubts of who I was. And I want to tell you right now, I know that I know that I know that I am redeemed. And I can say as Job, I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know I'm going to stand before him in the latter day. And even after the skin worms have destroyed this body, I'm still going to praise him, because I know who he is. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth in the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Your words are seeds. They're planted. Proverbs said this way, thou art snared by the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You take control of your life by taking control of what you speak, and you'll find your destiny that God has for you. Glory. You don't know what you might make a difference in. Gentleman teaches a Sunday school class in a church outside of Chicago. He goes to buy a pair of shoes. And he starts talking to the little guy that's selling him the shoes. Starts witnessing to him about God. The little guy takes him in the back because he's really excited about what the man's telling him. He said, look, I'm not a Christian. I need to know about this. So the guy leads him to the Lord in the back room of the shoe store. Next Sunday, the little boy showed up at church. A few weeks later, he's bringing 25, 30 people with him because he's telling everybody what happened to him at the shoe store. He starts teaching Sunday school class, and 6 months later, that class is bigger than the church was when he got there. And we're not talking about a little church. His Sunday school class had over 700 people in it in a matter of 6 months. He starts preaching, running revivals. They came over to Britain to preach, and the guy wrote about him. He said, he'd come into my church with slaughterhouse religion, and I shut him down and sent him home. He was so gory, people were almost ready to throw up, because he talked about the blood and the guts of the gospel so much. 2 weeks later, that guy wrote, after realizing what happened, I realized that young man opened up the spirit of my soul to what God really is and what God can really do. And instead of just religion, I started dealing with an experience. And my life was so changed that I have now resigned my church, and I'm traveling the world preaching just as bad as he was. That guy comes to America. He preaches the revivals. Next thing you know, this dude comes to the altar and gets saved. He preached a famous sermon called Payday Someday. His name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday's running a revival out west, and a guy comes and gets right with God, starts preaching. He sets up a tent and for 3 months preached his heart out to nobody. Except one little teenage boy came to the altar and got saved. You see, that little boy that got saved in the shoe store was D.L. Moody. Moody Broadcast Corporation is named after him. Moody Bible College named after him. In his day, he was one of the greatest preachers on the face of this earth. He goes to Britain and he preaches to a guy by the name of George Mearson, who comes to America preaching, gets Billy Sunday saved, who got Mordecai Ham saved, who had a little boy get saved in his tent meeting, gave up preaching for a while till he found out that little boy became one of the greatest preachers of our day. A little guy named Willie Graham, who became known as Billy Graham, who moved this world upside down. And it all started with just a simple church member talking to a boy in a school, in a shoe store, talking to him about Jesus. You don't know the ripple effect you have on the kingdom of God when you learn to just fulfill your destiny that God has for you. Stand with me all over the house. It doesn't require theological knowledge of Scripture, just Scripture in your heart and love. Preaching in Romania, I don't even remember the town. It was the last night we were there. We'd gone to this church for a minister's conference that afternoon. It was actually in a theater seats. It was perfect. Had a little stage down front, which seat 400, 500, 600 people. We had our minister's conference there, and then we separated to go to churches to preach. And I'll never forget, Tim Hill looked up and said, "We're going to leave you here. This will be the hardest place to preach, and I don't want to put the guys under pressure." And I'm like, "Thank you." Of course, I found out the reason it was going to be so hard to preach, all the rest of the churches are very orthodox. This church, they sang praise and worship songs. So the Romanians considered it hard to preach there because the people would be so excited you couldn't get them back down to preach to them. Brother Tom George was with me, and I'll never forget, between the services, we had spent some time talking to the pastor and his wife, and the pastor had explained to us that he couldn't even look at the building because he felt like God was going to give him that building, and then suddenly the man owning the building raised the price to 120-something thousand American. Y'all may not understand, but at that time, Romanian money was 28,000 to one. So you multiply 120 by 28,000. 120,000 by 28,000. You're talking about millions. He didn't have the money to pay the 20 or 30,000. He was praying for God to help him get that. Now he quadrupled the price. I walked out front and was standing in the foyer looking out the window, watching the sunset. And this dude walked in, and he was about 6'4", weighed about 450. Hair oily, beard oily. I knew he was there before I saw him because I smelt him before I ever laid eyes on him because he was off the street. I turned around and I seen him, and he starts walking toward me, and I looked at him and said, "Hey, I love you." And I reached my hand out like that, and he said, "Ah." I said, "I'm my Levinsy." He died. He caught enough of the German, and I had enough in me that he realized I was saying, "I love you." And I don't know if y'all understand, but at 6'4", my nose went right in his armpit. And since I smelled the rest of him, you didn't want your nose where mine was. And he was hanging on to me for dear life. And finally, he let me go, and I staggered back, and he had a big old smile on his face. And I went, "Die." And I turned and walked off. We had church that night, and he was sitting up in the crowd. They sang, and Brother Tom got up and preached, and then they sang a couple more songs, and I got up and preached. I gave the altar call, and the preachers lined up like normal across the front, and all of a sudden, it looked like a defensive lineman coming through. Big boy done moved him. He wasn't stopping at the preachers like everybody else did. He came through to me, and he come at me like this. I landed on the floor with him on top of me. They got him around, got him up on his knees. I stood up. He was almost as tall as I was on his knees, and he's praying. God's touching him. Those guys are leading him. He gives his heart to the Lord. Tears running down his face. And I'm standing over there kind of watching. The pastor turned around. He said, "He comes to church for the singing, but he never stays for preaching." He said, "In the 4 years I've been here, I've never had him stay for preaching." Said, "I asked him why he stayed, and he said, he loves me." He didn't know one thing I said. He didn't care. All he needed to know was somebody loved him, and that's your destiny. Let the world know you love them. It's not words, it's deed. It's life. And if you do that, you have a destiny in God that can change somebody's heart, change somebody's life. A young man got saved. I don't know what he might have done other than this. I do know that that church now is in the 11,000 square foot building that connected to that because the young man's dad owned those buildings. And he gave them to the church after his son got saved there. Instead of $120,000, they got it for zero. Barry said, if you can get my son saved, you can do a work. And he gave him the church and started going there. Last time I know, he was one of their biggest tithe payers and was working in the church. A ripple that could change a whole community. That's all it takes, is to love somebody, to truly, truly find your destiny and let God use you. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, you said it is not by might, nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.